Let's pray. Father, we come before you and we just lift the service up to you. We ask that your will be made known to us and that it become a part of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week I told you that we're going to continue on looking at wealth and humility. Well, I lied to you. I changed it up a little bit. We'll do that next week. As you know, this week we're going to have a meeting about our church mission. And that really matters. Because that's the thing we fall back on when we don't know what to do. When there seem to be two right answers or no right answer. And the only thing that I had asked was that it be founded on Scripture. So that before we actually set up a mission, we have a Scripture about Scripture that we stand on. So what I want to talk to you today is about the Word of God and His church. Because I want you to take a moment and ask yourself why you come here. You could be back home in bed, golfing, fishing, watching TV, shopping, eating, whatever it is you do for fun. Because there's often a difference between why we come here and why we're instructed to come here. Perhaps some of us come here out of a sense of obligation that was instilled in us by our parents, that if we're not here on Sunday, we're in trouble. You know, I can remember that if we didn't go to church, we weren't allowed to go out and play. So there's an extra added incentive. And when Garrett was young, maybe 6 years old, on Saturday morning, I took the video camera upstairs to wake him up, just so I would have captured that moment when he gets out of bed. You know, it was, you know, kind of cool. So I'm there with the video camera. I said, "Hey, buddy, wake up." And I said, "It's time to get up." And he said, "I don't feel good. I don't want to get up. My stomach hurts." I said to him, "Garrett, you know it's not Sunday, it's Saturday, right?" And he went, "Oh," and he hopped up, jumped out of bed, and ran downstairs. And I have that captured forever on, you know, on video. But that's sort of what happens to us, the honesty of kids, and, you know, and the power of healing, you know, the healing power of words, just saying it's Saturday instead of Sunday. Or we may think that God puts a gold star on his refrigerator above our pictures when we attend church, believing that you get a special reward or a commendation for suffering through this. Or you believe that going to church somehow makes up for the wrongs that you've done in the week. A time to pay a spiritual piper his dues. A way to do weekly penance, maybe. "Look, God, I'm here. Wipe the slate clean. So I go out this week and start all over again." Some of us attend for social reasons. They like the people and the camaraderie the church provides. There can be a warm and fuzzy feeling that continuity and tradition give us when we do the same thing in the same place every week. It gives us the illusion of control in a life that is beset by unrequested change. For some, church has become a quasi-political organization where we can go and hear what we want to hear from people who see things our way regarding our society. Church can be a place that legitimizes and empowers our social or political beliefs regarding a particular cause or idea. I must be right. All these people in a whole denomination agree with me. For some of us, this is the place that we turn to when all else has failed. When we've tried most of what the world is offering and found it to be vanity or emptiness. You've come here looking for hope, looking for truth, looking for the love that you have sensed but could not find. As Peter told Christ, "Where else could we go? Your words are eternal life." No one else fills this need. But for some of us, we come here because this is where the Christians are. And where the Christians are, Christ is. Matthew 18:20 says, "For where two or three have gathered in my name, I am there in their midst." Where the Christians are, the gifts of the Spirit are. This is the only place you can find them, and perhaps the most importantly, this is the place where you can use your gifts and be spiritually fulfilled. We embrace church because we want to embrace our God. And we find Him in each other, even in the people we don't particularly see eye to eye with. This is why God commanded us to remember His Sabbath and to keep it holy, because we need to set aside a day for Him, not because He needs us to. When I walk into church, God's not up there going, "Oh, yippee, Jeff came to church today." Ezekiel 20:12 says, I gave them my Sabbath to be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I, the Lord, is the one who sanctifies them. It was given for you. We all need a time and a place to worship God and to serve each other with the gifts we're given. Worshiping God and serving your brother. The two endeavors are synonymous. If you're doing one, you will be doing the other. This is why Paul instructed us in Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. I like to put it this way. The older you get, the more you appreciate church, because the day is drawing near. There is nothing in Scripture that tells us what our Sunday service should be. It doesn't tell us what to say, what to sing, or how to sing it, how long it should be, or where it should be held. We are instructed on how we should act and treat each other. When we are simply told what we should do is this, assemble together and encourage one another. We get to make the particulars of how we do these two things up to meet our needs. God gives us a lot of leeway. We do this because we have something profitable in here, something encouraging to share the truth of the Word of God. Acts 2:42. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teachings and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. This isn't saying that the early church was devoting themselves to the apostles. It was saying they devoted themselves to their teachings, to the truth. Now remember what that means, because there is no gospel yet. Their teachings are the gospel. Their teachings are what we read when we're up here. Because that which is perfect has not come yet. So what they're devoting themselves to is the truth that we are talking about right now. It just wasn't written down yet. They also devoted themselves to each other, fellowship, and the joint worship of their God, breaking of bread and prayer. Truth and fellowship. They gathered together because they were devoted to both of these things. When the church got together, both of these things came with them for a purpose, so that they could be conformed to the image of Christ, to be sanctified, to be setified, and prepared for him for use, which is the purpose of all temporal things. It's why all of it's here. It's why we're here. Ephesians 4:15 says, but speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects unto him who is the head, even Christ. The teaching, speaking, and sharing of truth is our main communal function. It is what growing up in Christ is hinged on. What causes us to be conformed to the image of Christ is speaking the truth. Speaking Scripture. The truth is so important to the church and to our fellowship, to our purpose for being here, that God actually snatched people out of their lives and put them into yours, just so that you would know and understand the truth. God knew that before we could speak the truth to one another in love, we would have to learn and be taught the truth in love. Ephesians 4:11-13, and he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain the unity in faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. That's what being sanctified is, by the way. With the exception of the apostles, under the narrow definition, the apostles, not a apostle, we still have these men today, because the main purpose of each of these positions is to tell, teach, and inform you the truth of the Word of God. And we get into trouble when we have such men who do not do that. They are here to tell you the truth so that you can do the work you were called to do, so that you can mature, grow up, conform in His image, into the stature, the full status, which is yours through your inheritance with Jesus Christ. Everything that Christ has, He has it for you. This is how you get it. This is why when Peter wrote an open letter to all Christians, he started it and ended it with the exact same idea. 2 Peter 1, 2 through 3. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Seeing that His divine power has granted us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him who has called us to His own glory and excellence. And he closes with this line, 2 Peter 3:18. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. In the opening of his letter, Paul tells us that grace and peace grow in us. They're multiplied through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. Knowing that everything in life and everything regarding righteousness and godliness comes through true knowledge of Him. It's how you get it. You have to know it first before you can do it. In the benediction, Peter concludes that we should grow, mature, conform in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Our call as a church is not just to act right and to know right, but to grow in both of them. The true knowledge of God comes from one source, Scripture. And it is confirmed with one source, the Holy Spirit. If you lack grace, if you lack peace, grow in the true knowledge of God and Jesus Christ. I always talk about this with death, when people fear death. I keep telling them, you don't need to know more about death. You need to know more about God. Because that's where peace comes from. Our individual mantra is no different than our collective mantra. Grow. If you want to grow, you have to know. If you want to grow, you have to know. The Word of God is truth, and the truth will sanctify you. It will change you and prepare you for God's use. Now, Psalms 119, 160 tells us about the Word of God. It says, the sum of your words is truth. What a beautiful statement. The sum of your words is truth. And every one of your righteous ordinances is everlasting. Collectively, the words of Scripture are true. The sum of His words, what you have when you consider the totality of them, is truth. Yet, every single word stands on its own. And none will ever be changed nor disproven. It provides big picture comprehension and delivers detailed understanding. It is the forest and the trees. Scripture is God's gift of context for your life, especially the context of why, context for purpose. John 15:3 says, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. You are clean because of the word I've spoken to you. That's how powerful it is. We are cleansed from our sin by the word of God. Remember what it says. It is living. It is active. It is sharper than a two-edged sword. It is a thing. It has an existence. It has a mission. It has purpose. It has power. The word of God is defined in this verse as the words Christ spoke. And that is really important. Because what he's saying is, my words are gospel. Because up until that time, the only scripture there is Old Testament. And Jesus says, you are clean by my words, giving the weight of Scripture to His words. A momentous day and moment. That little phrase means a whole lot in all of our lives. Here Christ says that His words have the power to save us. But the power of His words do not stop with saving you. John 19:17-19. Christ asked this of God. Sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth. So what he's saying is sanctify them with your word. As you have sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For their sake, I sanctify myself, that they themselves also may be sanctified in truth. What's the truth? His word is truth. Here Jesus is asking God to sanctify us with his word, which is the truth. Christ then says that he himself was sanctified by his own word. I sanctify myself. He's the only one that can do that, so that we could be sanctified. Christ set himself apart so that we could be set apart by the power of the word of God, so that we could be what we were created to be, so that we could grow up into our destiny, which is God's will. So that we could grow in the grace and the knowledge, so that we could be conformed to his image, so that we could have unity with our God. This is what the truth of the word of God does. This is why scripture tells us that we present to God with our lives is based on our knowledge and application of his word. 2 Timothy 2:15. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of God. Accurately handling the word of God. Be diligent, work hard, so that you can present yourself to God without shame. Do this by accurately handling the word of God. Know what it says, do what it tells you, and share it with a passion. The word of God is where truth and grace meet. We fear truth because we know that it will expose our need for grace. Fear not, because this truth will make you free. If you desire to hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant," when this is all over, then accurately handle the word of God. Because the word of God is where truth confluences with love and grace. John 1:14, "And the word became flesh." The flesh didn't become the word. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we saw his glory. Glory is the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth, together in one place. John 1:17, "For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ." Grace and truth. What a rare combination in this world. So often we seek the truth so that we combine it with our own unseemliness. We search the truth for words that will justify our will and what we want to be true. Words that will dignify our sinful disregard of others. That, or we use the word grace to justify our will, believing that if I desired it, it must be from God. Well, the whole point of this life is to prove to us otherwise. Choosing to believe that grace is a means of unity with my will instead of unity with the will of God. We foolishly use God's truth to subject others to our will, and we use grace as an excuse to disregard God's. This is why we are instructed to grow in both grace and knowledge of God. Both are attainable, both are desirable, and both are complementary. This church could be one of the few places where they both meet in this world. This is what makes us the light in the darkness. If we do not grow in both, we are simply relegated to being a more educated and self-serving shade of darkness. But if we seek the truth that can only be found in the Word of God, if we let that truth sanctify us so that the love we were given is the love that we give, this place, right here, can be an oasis of light in a dark world. We can be the rare place of great value that the psalmist spoke of in Psalms 85:10, a place where loving kindness and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Loving kindness and truth have met together. Loving kindness and truth, they're not mutually exclusive. In fact, they're symbiotic and inseparable. They are as Christ and the Father are, one in purpose, one in action. This should be the place where their unity is proven, the place where they blend together, the place where righteousness and peace embrace. Only the truth of the word can make this place such a place. This is why I've asked you to find a verse about the word of God that we can build our mission statement on. Because if we do not build on the foundation of the word of God, we may be gracious, or we may have knowledge, but we will not have both, and we will not be a light. And we will not offer any light to a dark world or provide a means of growth for any member of the family of God. Paul expressed the true value of the church of Jesus Christ to this world when he wrote to Timothy. 1 Timothy 3:15. But in case I'm delayed, I write to you so that you will know how one ought to conduct himself in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and support of truth. What is the church? It is the pillar and the support of truth. Truth is the word is Jesus Christ. Paul writes to Timothy so that we will know how to conduct ourselves in church, no matter what we choose our church service to be. It doesn't matter. It's how we conduct ourselves that matter. Because the church is the pillar and support of truth in this world. All truth in this world flow from the word of God into his church and then out into the world. That's how it gets there. If we gather together for any reason but to grow in truth and the grace of God, no matter how noble the cause may appear, we are in error. And our efforts give nothing to this world, nor do they sanctify the saints. In Max Stokes' book, Major United Methodist Church Beliefs, Stokes writes the following. The tree of Protestantism roots in the Bible. And that soil alone does it flourish. Every time we try to plant it somewhere else, it withers and dies. The Bible is the mainstay of our pulpits, the content of our Sunday school lessons, and the foundation of our devotional lives. When we neglect it, vital Christianity suffers. When we exalt it, vital Christianity thrives. Isaiah 48 says, the grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of God will stand forever. The choice is ours. We can build on the word of God, and what we build will be vital and eternal. Or we can build on anything else, no matter how pretty it may appear, no matter what the flowers look like. And what we build will wither and fade away. And I leave you with this. 2 Corinthians 13:8. For we, me and you, can do nothing against the truth, but only for the truth. That's all we can do. We don't have another choice. We change it around a little bit. For we can do nothing against the word of God, but only for the word of God.